What's going on, guys? Nathan here. Today, we're going to talk about the seven things that you will always see good poker players doing. This is how you know who the best poker players are at the table. I'm going to walk you through step-by-step example hands, charts, diagrams, and more. Let's dive right into it. All right, guys. So counting down from seven to one, here we go. Number seven is getting thin value every single time. Guys, I've talked about this one many times before. Pot sizes on the river are on average the largest. You already know this. I don't need to tell you that. The river is the last street in No Limit Texas Hold'em. For those of you guys who are new to the game, this is the fifth card on the board in the community cards, and there have been betting rounds all along. So at this point, guys, we need to make sure that we make a thin value bet. And let me explain that, by the way. A value bet in poker is when you make a bet when you have a strong belief that you have the best hand. We don't need to have top pair. We don't need to have a straight. We don't need to have a flush. We're talking about thin value today, and I'm going to walk you through an example right now where we have second pair. So guys, we need to make them pay. We're up against a fish in this hand here. This is one of the recreational players that we make the money against in poker, and we have ace queen offsuit. That's the ace of spades and queen of diamonds, and by the river the board reads king of diamonds, queen of spades, seven of diamonds, four of clubs, and three of diamonds. Now we're going to assume that you bet the flop, they called, and then perhaps it went check, check on the turn. Pretty standard stuff. So what do you do on this river card? Well, a lot of amateurs are going to get gun shy in this situation. They're going to see, for example, that there's three diamonds on the board now. So our opponent could have a flush. There is, of course, still the king. So our opponent could have a king that beats us as well. There are a couple straight draws that got there in the river. For example, a hand like 5-6 now has the nut straight. So a lot of beginners and amateurs will make the terrible, tragic mistake here of checking behind and missing a clear value bet. Guys, you need to be betting around half pot in this situation every single time. So for example, the pot's $50, you bet $25. Now why? Let me unpack this. Guys, the reason why is we need to understand that a king, a flush, or a straight is just a very small percentage of their entire range. Remember guys, we're not playing against individual hands in poker. We're always playing against a range of hands, and a recreational player like this is going to have so many hands in this situation that we are ahead of. Let me give you an example of just a couple of them. For example, a hand like ace 3, ace 4. They could have a hand like 7-8. They could have a hand like queen jack. These are all hands that we beat that this player will likely call with in this situation. Remember, we're up against a recreational player here. They don't like to fold anything. Also, remember guys, we got the queen of diamonds in our hand, meaning that we block flush draws, which is just a fancy way of saying that it makes it statistically less likely that this player has a flush. So guys, do not miss your thin value bets in situations like this. No good poker player is ever going to check back here. Make a bet of around half pot. Let's move on to thing number six that you're always going to see good poker players doing, and that is playing their draws aggressively. Guys, good poker players know that straight draws and flush draws have around 30% equity on the flop. Therefore, we don't need to be a math genius to understand that if we just play our hand in a straightforward manner and only bet or check or call when we make our draw, we're not going to win over the long term, guys, because 70% of the time, we're not going to make our draw by the river. So therefore, you have to give yourself more ways to win. All good poker players do this. So let me give you an example once again. You've got 10-9 of hearts on the flop of 8 of spades, jack of clubs, and 5 of hearts. So this is a pretty good flop for our hand here. We have an open-ended straight draw, meaning that any 7 or queen that were to come on the turn or river would make us the nut straight. I hope some of you savvy poker players also notice that we have a backdoor flush draw on this board. If it came heart-heart on the turn and river, we would make a very strong hand with a flush. So guys, sometimes in this situation, you should be raising, even though you only have 10 high in this situation. And the reason why, guys, is because this is going to give us two ways to win this pot instead of just one. A lot of amateurs will make the mistake of simply just calling in this situation. But guys, remember the odds we just talked about. You're only going to hit your straight roughly around 30% by the river. So when you make a raise here, sometimes, once again, we want to be calling sometimes. We always want to be balancing increasing our ranges in poker, but when you add this raising element to your game, not only do you make yourself infinitely more difficult to play against, but you also give yourself another way to win by simply forcing this player to fold right now. Guys, remember, you only hit the flop roughly 1 out of 3 times in poker. So a lot of the time here, this player might not have anything. They might just have a hand like ace deuce, for example, or maybe a hand like pocket threes, which really doesn't like this board that much. And therefore, with a raise in this situation, we can often get these hands, which are technically beating us right now, to simply fold. So guys, bottom line, play your draws more aggressively and you're going to win more. Let's move on to thing number 5 that you're always going to see good poker players doing, and that's actually a negative, which is never paying off the nips. Guys, I've talked about this before. This is the only thing literally that can set me off at the poker tables, is when I pay off the tightest player at the table. Guys, this is the guy or girl who's been sitting in the corner for the last hour. You don't hear anything out of them. They're folding every single hand, and all of a sudden they wake up, they're betting, they're raising, all sorts of stuff. Guys, it's because they have it. They're not trying to bluff you out of the blue. If you play online poker, by the way, you can just use a HUD and you can recognize these players right away. A HUD just puts the statistics right on your screen for you. If you're playing 6 max poker, you want to look for people that are playing 15% or less of their hands. If you're playing a 9 player game, 10% or less. I will include links to the HUD that I use in the description below. But even if you're not using a HUD, guys, again, it's just the player who never seems to be involved. You don't want to pay these players off. Let me give you an example once again. You got the best hand ever created, pocket rockets, and a rock raises you on the turn of 9 of diamonds, jack of spades, 8 of diamonds, and 5 of clubs. Guys, you need to be folding in this situation. I know this is crazy to a lot of beginners and amateurs. They can't believe, why on earth would you ever fold pocket aces? Guys, you have to understand that there are multiple hands that are crushing you on this board, and when a tight player like this raises you on the turn or river, it is literally always one of those hands. Let me give you an example of a few of the hands that have you crushed here. Queen 10 flopped the nut straight. 10-7 also flopped the straight. This player could also very conceivably have a hand like pocket nines, pocket jacks, pocket eights, or pocket fives here for 3 of a kind, aka a set, which have you at about 5% equity, 5% odds to win the pot right now with your pocket aces. Not very good odds, guys. Guys, bottom line, good poker players know that the tightest player at the table here is never bluffing you on what I call the big money streets, the turn or the river. I know it's painful, but you have to learn how to fold your pocket aces, your pocket kings, and your pocket queens in this situation. Don't make the mistake of paying these players off, guys, or you're gonna learn the hard way like so many other players that they're literally never bluffing. Let's move on to thing number 4. Guys, that you're always going to see good poker players doing, and that is not making bad calls. They don't need to see it. This is what I hear from so many amateurs with my students over the years, is that they just need to see it when somebody raises them on the river. We just talked about that, guys. Guys, one of the biggest keys to your success at the poker table is kind of a dirty word that nobody likes to talk about these days: discipline. I know it sucks. You know, nobody likes to make the tough fold, but sometimes you have to do it, guys. Let me give you an example once again. You got pocket jacks, and as you can see on the screen there, on the river, the board reads a 10, 4, 8, ace, king, and somebody raises you or bets on the river. Guys, versus any kind of decent, sane, thinking opponent who takes the game seriously, who's watching videos like this, you have to fold your hand in a situation like this. You don't need to see it, guys. That's how amateurs play. And that's why amateurs get amateur level results, which are usually losing results in poker. You, as a winning, savvy, sophisticated poker player, a good poker player who's watching videos like this, you know better, and you have the discipline to lay down your pocket jacks in this situation. Let's move on to thing number 3 that all good poker players do, and that is that they understand how to set mine efficiently. Now, let me break down set mining quickly for you, especially for your beginners who are watching this video. Set mining is the act of calling preflop with a small pocket pair, like pocket threes, for example, with the express intention of trying to hit another 3 on the flop, making what we call a set or 3 of a kind, which is a very, very strong hand in a game like No Limit Texas Hold'em, where you can bet any amount at any time. And often, if a player has a hand like a top pair with a good kicker or an over pair, and especially if they're a tight player, you can often win a monster pot in these situations. However, the biggest mistake that a lot of amateurs make with these hands is they don't realize that when you do not hit your set, which is going to happen, by the way, 88% of the time on the flop. You only flop a set 12% of the time. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But when it's the 88% of the time, guys, most of the time you need to fold when they make a big bet or they raise you or something like that. For example, once again, board is 10-4 ace jack deuce. And again, guys, a decent player bets into you on the river. You have to make the fold in a situation like this. They're not going to be bluffing. Even if they've got a jack or a 10 or a 4, they're still beating you. Guys, the real lesson here is do not hang on all the way with these small baby pocket pairs. Nearly all of the value with hands like pocket threes like this is in hitting a set on the flop. And most of the time, if you don't hit your set, you just want to be getting out of there. All right, guys, let's move on to thing number two that all good poker players always do, and that is to always raise up the limpers. Now, guys, limping is the act of just calling the blind preflop. By the way, I've discussed many times how you should never, ever do this in all of my books, all of my training videos, and in all of these YouTube videos. By the way, make sure you subscribe so you never miss my new videos. Guys, bottom line, limpers are literally free money. When somebody limps in the pot preflop, you should consider that as somebody who's thrown away their money, and it's up to you now to just pick it up and take it for yourself. So you have ace 10 of hearts in a $1, $2 cash game. And as we know, many players love to limp in these games, especially live games in the casino. You should raise it up to $10 in this situation. Why $10? Well, I typically suggest three times the big blind as a standard default, and then adding one additional big blind per limper. So remember, the big blind in this game is $2, so 3x as a default would be $6, and then adding two more big blinds for each limper for a grand total of $10. I've found over the years that this is a decent default, once again, bet sizing strategy in a lot of poker games to maximize your success, but in some cases you might need to raise more depending on how wild of a poker game you're in. If nobody's folding anything, you can size up or even size down depending on your table conditions. Bottom line, guys, aggressive poker is winning poker. You will notice that in everything that I put out here on YouTube, you need to be giving yourself more ways to win. We already talked about that with draws before, but let's move on to the number one thing, guys, that all good poker players do, and that is always having a fish on your direct right. This is literally how I've made a career out of this game. I always have one of the weak recreational poker players on my right when I'm playing, and this is literally how winning is done in poker. You can literally throw everything out the window, guys. People spend years and years these days studying advanced poker theory. They're studying solvers, game theory optimal, all this crazy stuff, and literally, if they just learn this one simple tip right here, they could cut all of that out and start winning big immediately. I put the image on your screen there of my online poker table. You're gonna notice I'm using a HUD, by the way. And again, the HUD that I use, I'll put the link in the description below for that. You're gonna notice on your screen there that there's one player marked in blue, and there's a reason for that. This player is playing 55% of their hands. VPIP is just a fancy term with poker HUDs for the percentage of hands a player plays, and they're raising a crazy 18%. Now, if you're not using a HUD, you're playing live cam, or you're playing on an online poker site where HUDs are not allowed, you just look for the players, guys, that are limping a lot. We just talked about that, that are literally playing. It seems like they're involved in every single hand. That's the table fish. And the other thing that I hope you guys already notice as well is I'm on the direct left of this player. I'm BlackRain79, and therefore I am going to have direct position on this player in almost every single hand, which is going to give me a massive statistical advantage. I'm going to be able to raise this player up anytime I want. Anytime they limp, I can isolate them preflop with a raise. We just talked about that. I can value bet them like crazy. We already talked about how to do that before. And I can also fold my hand in the situation where I actually believe that they have a strong hand, and I can save myself money. Guys, bottom line, when you get to see what they do first, you are always going to win much more in poker. There's a classic saying in poker that all the money flows towards the button because you get to act last on the button. That's why I also recommend abusing the heck out of the button. I didn't have time to include that one in this video.
So I hope you enjoyed this poker podcast episode. If you want to know my complete strategy for beating small and mid-stakes poker games, make sure you go grab a copy of my free poker cheat sheet that's available on my website at blackrain79.com. And also make sure you hit like and subscribe here to the podcast, as I'm putting out new episodes every single week to help you guys quickly get beating your poker games. I wish you guys all the best at the poker tables. I'll catch you next week. This has been Nathan Williams with BlackRain79.com.